All right, so today we are going to be diving deep into lease agreements.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, this should be pretty interesting. So, we've got a podcast transcript here. We've got some notes on relevant laws and court cases.
Yeah.
And I think this will be really interesting to kind of see what's going on in the legal world of lease agreements. Whether you're a landlord or a tenant, I think this will be really relevant for your.
You're absolutely right. And I think people often think of lease agreements as just like a simple form you fill out,
Yeah.
but it's actually a really important legal document. It's a binding contract, and it can have a huge impact on your renting experience.
Exactly. So we're going to be like uncovering some of those hidden complexities in lease agreements, the things that can trip people up, and how to kind of navigate this whole world safely and effectively.
Sounds good.
So first, let's talk about the legal backdrop. You know, what are the laws that really shape these agreements?
So it's all about layers, really. You've got federal laws that set a kind of baseline, and then you've got state laws that add their own nuances, and then finally you have local laws, city or county ordinances that can get really specific and sometimes a little bit tricky.
So it's not just one big rule book. It's like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the most important laws to know about at the federal level is the Fair Housing Act.
Okay.
And this is a really important law because it prevents discrimination in housing.
Gotcha.
Landlords cannot refuse to rent to someone based on their race, their religion, sex, family status, national origin, or disability.
Okay, that makes sense. It's about equal opportunity for everyone. But what would that look like in like a real world scenario? Like, how does the Fair Housing Act actually play out?
So let's say a landlord has a property and they really want to rent it out, and they think to themselves, well, I would prefer a single professional, no kids running around making noise, They
Okay.
cannot legally say that in their advertisement or use that as a criteria for choosing a tenant. And even if they don't explicitly say it, if they're basing their decision on one of those protected characteristics, that is still a problem.
Gotcha. So even if they don't say it out loud, if they're kind of like making decisions based on these things, that's still an issue.
Absolutely. And that's where things get tricky because proving discriminatory intent can be very difficult.
Right.
But the Fair Housing Act really provides tenants with a very important layer of legal protection.
Okay, so landlords have to be really careful about how they screen tenants and make sure that they're not, even accidentally crossing any lines.
Exactly. And on top of those federal protections, each state, each city even, can have its own set of very specific rules that landlords need to be aware of.
Okay.
And these can include things like security deposit limits, eviction procedures. In some cities, you can't just raise the rent however much you want.
Right.
There are limits on how much you can increase the rent each year. So there are all sorts of very specific local rules.
Wow, so you've really got to do your research before you even like write a lease agreement. Make sure you know all the local laws in your area.
Couldn't agree more. Ignorance is certainly not bliss when it comes to the law.
For sure. For sure. So we've got this this legal foundation, but what about the lease itself? What are some of those like must-have terms that both landlords and tenants need to really understand?
This is where we get into the nitty-gritty of the agreement.
Okay.
The really essential details that both landlords and tenants need to be crystal clear on.
Yeah. So what are those specifics?
Well, first you have the rent. The lease needs to specify exactly how much rent is due, when it's due, and what payment methods are acceptable.
Right.
You also have the lease duration, so whether that's a short-term agreement or a year-long commitment,
Yeah.
this will affect, the flexibility for both sides. And
Right.
of course, we can't forget the security deposit,
The security deposit.
that upfront payment that can often cause a lot of confusion and even legal disputes.
Yeah, I remember when I was renting my first apartment, I thought the security deposit was like, I don't know, like a magical fund that my landlord could just dip into whenever they felt like it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that.
But it turns out it's a lot more regulated than that.
Absolutely. The lease agreement needs to spell out very clearly how much that deposit is,
Okay.
what the landlord can use it for,
Right.
and also how and when it needs to be returned to the tenant after the lease ends.
So it's not just like a free for all for the landlord to like redecorate. It's actually like a financial safety net for both sides, I guess.
Exactly. It protects both parties.
Makes sense. Makes sense. And while we're talking about the lease ending, what about those termination clauses? They're always a little bit mysterious to me.
Those are really key. They outline the procedures for both the landlord and the tenant to end the lease.
Okay.
That includes things like the required notice periods and the consequences of breaking the agreement early.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, so far we've covered the legal playing field and those must-have lease terms. But, life is messy. Things change. Sometimes, people don't hold up their end of the bargain. So let's talk about what happens when things go wrong. Like, what about the enforcement and amendment part of a lease agreement?
Yeah, this is where things can get tricky.
Yeah.
But the lease agreement is designed to provide a framework for handling those situations.
Okay.
So for landlords, it's about having that legal recourse when a tenant violates the agreement,
Okay.
whether that's, not paying rent or damaging the property.
But there are rules around that, right? It's not just like a free-for-all for landlords to do whatever they want.
Oh, absolutely. You're right.
Okay.
There are specific legal procedures that landlords have to follow.
Okay.
So let's take unpaid rent, for example.
All right.
A landlord cannot just decide to change the locks and kick the tenant out.
Yeah.
They have to follow the proper procedures, provide adequate notice, and even go through a court process if that's necessary.
So that security deposit that we talked about, that comes into play here too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
In most cases, the security deposit can only be used for specific things
Okay.
that are outlined in the lease, like unpaid rent or damages that go beyond normal wear and tear.
So it's not just like a slush fund for the landlord to, redecorate. It's like actually
No, it's a
a financial safety
function.
net on both
Exact.
parties.
Yeah, it's meant to protect both the landlord and the tenant.
Gotcha. And speaking of changes, we can't forget about amendments to the lease agreement
That's right.
because, things happen.
They do.
What if someone needs to add a roommate,
Yeah.
or the landlord wants to make a change in the parking situation?
Exactly. Any change or addition to the original lease agreement
Right.
needs to be documented in writing
Okay.
and agreed upon by both parties.
So no handshake deals here.
No handshake deals. Everything needs to be clear and official to avoid confusion and potential disputes.
Makes sense. All right, so we've got this legal groundwork. We've got the essential terms and how to handle, changes or violations.
Yeah.
But, let's be honest, sometimes things go sideways in a major way.
They do.
So, what are some of the legal landmines that landlords can accidentally stumble upon? The things that can turn a seemingly simple rental agreement into a full-blown legal nightmare.
Ooh, this is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Our source material actually highlights some shockingly common pitfalls that landlords fall into.
Really? Like what? Give me an example.
Well, first up, we have illegal clauses.
Okay.
You wouldn't believe how many landlords try to slip in provisions that actually violate the law or a tenant's rights.
Oh, wow. So, like, what? Give me an example. Like, what kind of sneaky stuff are we talking about?
The one classic example is trying to waive a tenant's right to a habitable dwelling. It's basically saying, sure, the roof might leak, but too bad, so sad, you can't hold me accountable.
It's got to be illegal.
It is. Basic habitability rights are protected by law, and a landlord can't just erase those with a sneaky clause.
Yeah.
Another common one is trying to give themselves unrestricted access to the property
Oh, wow.
without providing proper notice.
So they can just barge in whenever they want.
Yeah, that's a major invasion of privacy.
Yeah, it's not cool.
No. Tenants have a right to quiet enjoyment of their rental unit,
Right.
and landlords can't just treat it like their own personal clubhouse.
Okay, so sneaky clauses, big red flag.
Right.
What else can landlords kind of trip up on?
Another common mistake is not being specific enough when it comes to repairs and maintenance.
Yeah, I can see how that could cause problems.
If the lease is vague about who's responsible for what, it just leads to arguments and finger pointing.
Right.
So the lease needs to very clearly outline who handles routine maintenance, who's responsible for pest control, what happens in case of a major repair, like a broken appliance or a leaky roof.
So if it's not spelled out, assume it's going to be a problem.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Clarity is key when it comes to repairs and maintenance.
Gotcha. All right, so we've got illegal clauses, vague repairs. What other legal landmines are lurking out there?
Well, unfortunately, discrimination is still a problem in the rental world.
Real.
Some landlords may consciously or unconsciously discriminate against tenants based on those protected characteristics we talked about earlier.
It's 2025. You'd think we'd be past this.
You would hope so,
Yeah.
but sadly, it still happens.
Yeah.
And so landlords need to be incredibly careful during that tenant screening process to make sure they're basing their decisions on objective criteria like credit history or rental references, not on any personal biases.
So illegal clauses, unclear repair responsibilities, and discrimination. That's a lot for landlords to watch out for.
It is.
Is there anything else? Any other like common pitfalls?
Yeah. One mistake we see a lot is landlords using generic lease agreements.
Okay.
Instead of customizing them to their specific property and local laws.
So it's like the one size fits all approach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's tempting to just download a template off the internet.
Yeah.
But it can backfire big time.
Right, right. And finally, what about insurance? That's something I feel like people forget about a lot.
Yeah, insurance is often overlooked.
Yeah.
But it's so crucial. The lease needs to specify what the insurance requirements are for both the landlord and the tenant.
Right.
That includes things like liability coverage for the property itself.
Okay.
And renter's insurance for the tenant's belongings.
Okay, wow. So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
Illegal clauses, vague repairs, discrimination, generic leases, insurance.
That's a lot.
It's clear there are a lot of potential legal traps out there for landlords.
There are.
So how do we avoid these headaches? What are the proactive steps landlords can take to stay on the right side of the law?
That's a great question. And it's all about being informed and taking the right precautions.
Okay.
So first and foremost, landlords should consult with a legal professional.
Makes sense.
I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't try to perform surgery on yourself, right?
Right. You got to leave it to the experts.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. An attorney who specializes in landlord-tenant law can be invaluable.
Okay.
They can help you draft or review your lease agreement.
Okay.
Make sure it complies with all the applicable laws.
Right.
And even represent you if a legal issue arises.
So legal counsel, that's step one.
Step one.
What else can landlords do to protect themselves?
Another smart move is to use state-vetted lease agreements.
Okay.
Many states offer standardized templates that have been reviewed and approved by legal experts.
So it's like having a safety net built right into the agreement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And finally, landlords need to stay informed about those ever-changing local laws.
Right, because laws are like that friend who constantly changes their hairstyle.
You got to keep up.
You got to keep up. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Laws are constantly evolving, and so landlords need to stay up to date to make sure that they're not accidentally running afoul of any new regulations.
So it's a combination of proactive steps like the legal counsel, the state-vetted lease.
Yeah.
And then also just like the ongoing education to stay informed.
Absolutely. It's about being informed, prepared, and seeking expert advice when you need it.
Awesome. Well, we've covered so much already.
I know.
But we're just getting started.
We're just getting warmed up.
There's a lot more to unpack when it comes to these agreements and legal compliance.
We've got more juicy details coming up.
Yeah, so make sure you stick around for part two, where we'll dive into some real-world case studies of lease agreement disputes.
Ooh, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
And we'll explore even more resources available to both landlords and tenants so you can really feel empowered and informed in this whole world of renting. We'll see you there. Welcome back to our deep dive on lease agreements.
Yeah, in part one, we really, I guess, unpacked the anatomy of a lease agreement. But now I'm kind of curious.
Yeah.
How does all this legal theory actually play out in real life situations?
That's a great question. And I think sometimes the best way to understand these concepts is to see them in action.
Okay.
You know, see how a seemingly simple clause can have huge real world implications.
Okay, so let's get into it. Hit me with a real world scenario. What kind of situation could turn like a typical lease agreement into a legal battle?
All right, picture this. A tenant discovers a leaky roof in their apartment.
Okay.
They notify the landlord, but weeks go by and nothing happens. The landlord is dragging their feet. The leak is getting worse. It's damaging the tenant's furniture and belongings.
Oh, that's a nightmare. I can already sense a legal dispute brewing.
Yeah.
But who's in the wrong here?
Well, this is where the lease agreement comes into play.
Okay.
Most leases will have a clause that outlines the landlord's responsibility for repairs.
Right.
Especially for those habitability issues, the things that affect, you know, a tenant's ability to live in the unit.
So in this case, the landlord is clearly in breach of contract. They're not like holding up their end of the bargain.
Exactly. And by failing to address the significant issue, the landlord is violating the terms of the lease.
Okay.
But what can the tenant actually do about it? They can't just move out without facing consequences themselves.
Right. Right. They're still bound by the lease agreement.
Exactly.
So what are their options?
The first step is communication. the tenant should send a formal written notice to the landlord.
Okay.
Outlining the problem, the fact that they haven't responded, and very clearly citing the section of the lease agreement that deals with repairs.
So it's all about creating a paper trail, like documenting everything in case things escalate.
You got it. This protects the tenant's rights and can really help them build their case if further action is needed.
Okay, but what if the landlord just, you know, continues to ignore the problem? Can the tenant, like, take more drastic measures?
In some cases, yes. Some states allow tenants to withhold rent if a landlord fails to make necessary repairs.
Okay.
But it's really important to know that there are very specific legal procedures that have to be followed.
Gotcha. So it's not just like a free pass to stop paying rent because the faucet stripping, you know, there are very specific rules about this rent withholding strategy.
Exactly. Often the tenant will have to deposit the rent into an escrow account, you know, basically proving that they're not refusing to pay. They're just holding the funds until the issue is resolved.
Right.
And it's really important to consult with local tenant rights organizations or attorneys to understand the specific laws in your area.
Okay, so rent withholding, that's one option.
Yeah.
But what if that's not allowed? Or the landlord, you know, still doesn't budge? What's the nuclear option here?
Well, if communication and other measures fail, the tenant might have to consider legal action.
Okay.
They could file a lawsuit against the landlord for breach of contract.
Wow.
Seeking compensation for damages and potentially even a reduction in rent.
Going to court over a leaky roof seems a little extreme, but I guess sometimes it's necessary.
It can be a last resort.
Right.
But it really does demonstrate just how far a seemingly simple breach of contract can go.
Right.
And this is why it's so important to have that clear, well-written lease agreement in place from the start.
Yeah, yeah. Because
having everything spelled out can often prevent these issues from escalating.
That's a good point. It's like a well-written lease is like a good insurance policy.
Exactly.
It's there to protect you when things go wrong.
Exactly.
All right, are you ready for another real world scenario?
Hit me.
Okay, let's flip the script. Let's talk about tenants breaking the lease.
Ooh, okay.
That's a big one. I know I've had friends who've had to break leases before, and it always seems so stressful and confusing.
Yeah.
So what happens, like, legally when a tenant decides to move out before their lease is up?
Well, breaking a lease is, legally speaking, a breach of contract.
Okay.
The tenant agreed to rent the property for a specific period of time. And by leaving early, they're not fulfilling that agreement.
And there are consequences for that, right? It's not just a matter of packing your bags and saying, see you later.
Right, exactly. And those consequences can really vary depending on the specific lease agreement and state laws.
Okay.
Some leases might allow for early termination with a certain amount of notice and maybe a financial penalty, like forfeiting the security deposit.
Right.
Other leases might be much stricter, requiring the tenant to pay rent for the remainder of the lease term, even if they're not living there anymore.
Wow. So breaking a lease can be a really costly decision.
It can.
Yeah. I bet a lot of people don't realize the financial ramifications.
They don't. And that's why it's so important for tenants to really understand those termination clauses.
Yeah.
They need to know the rules of the game before they decide to break the contract.
Right, right. But what if a tenant has a legitimate reason for needing to leave early?
Yeah.
Like a job transfer, a family emergency.
Yeah.
Are there ever, like, exceptions to these strict rules?
In some cases, yes. It's always worth talking to the landlord and explaining the situation.
Right.
You know, some landlords might be willing to negotiate an early termination agreement.
Right.
Especially if the tenant can find a suitable replacement.
So once again, communication is key.
Always.
It's always worth, like, trying to work things out amicably, you know, with the landlord before resorting to more drastic measures.
Absolutely. Open and honest communication can really go a long way and often prevent those small issues from turning into major legal battles.
Okay, so we've seen how lease agreements can kind of play out in these real world scenarios, both from the landlord's perspective and the tenant's perspective.
Yeah.
But let's face it, the legal system can be pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
So if someone finds themselves in, like, a tricky situation with their lease, where can they turn for help? What, like, resources are out there?
That's a great question. And thankfully, there are a lot of resources available to help both landlords and tenants, you know, navigate this complex world of landlord-tenant law. For starters, there are government agencies at both the federal and local levels that are dedicated to, you know, fair housing and tenants' rights.
Okay, so if you're facing discrimination,
yes,
or you're not sure about your rights as a tenant.
Exactly.
These agencies can help you out.
Exactly. They can offer information, mediation services, and even sometimes legal assistance.
Wow.
Often for free or a low cost.
That's amazing. Everyone should know about these resources. What about for landlords?
Yeah.
Where can they go for guidance, you know, on drafting lease agreements, understanding their legal obligations,
yeah,
maybe even dealing with difficult tenants?
There are a number of organizations and resources specifically for landlords.
Okay.
For example, you know, there are national and local landlord associations that provide educational materials, legal guidance.
Okay.
Even networking opportunities. You know, it's a chance for landlords to get together.
Okay, like a support group for landlords?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A chance to, you know, swap stories, learn from each other's experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
Those can be very valuable, especially for new landlords who are just starting out.
Okay, so we've got government agencies for tenants, landlord associations for landlords. What about, like, legal representation?
Yeah.
We talked about the importance of having an attorney earlier, but I know that can get pricey.
Yeah, it can.
So are there any, like, more affordable options for people who need legal help with their lease agreements?
Absolutely. Many legal aid organizations offer free or low-cost services to people who can't afford to hire a private attorney.
Okay.
And they often specialize in issues like housing and tenants' rights.
Okay.
So they can be a great resource for folks who are facing these legal challenges.
So if someone is feeling overwhelmed or lost in this legal maze,
yeah,
they're not alone. You know,
they're not.
There's help out there, and it's often more accessible than they think.
Absolutely. It's all about knowing where to look and not being afraid to ask for help.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, so far we've delved into these real world scenarios.
We have
uncovered some common pitfalls for both landlords and tenants.
Right.
Explored, you know, a wealth of resources to help people navigate this this whole legal world.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground.
But now I'm kind of curious to get your perspective.
Yeah.
What are, like, the key takeaways from all this? What are those big picture lessons that our listeners should really internalize?
That's a great question. And it's a perfect segue into our final part where we'll distill all this information down into some really actionable advice for both landlords and tenants.
All right. So welcome back to the deep dive. We have gone through the legal landscape of lease agreements, explored those real world scenarios that can turn a simple rental into like a legal battle royale.
Oh, yeah.
And uncover those resources for both landlords and tenants.
Whole treasure trove of them.
Yeah. So now it's time to, like, distill all that knowledge into actionable wisdom. What are, like, the key takeaways, those golden nuggets that our listeners can, like, walk away with and actually use in their own rental journeys?
Okay. So you're ready for those actionable insights?
Hit me.
All right. Well, first and foremost, it's so important to remember that a lease agreement, it's not just a formality. It's a legally binding contract,
right,
that really sets the stage for that entire landlord-tenant relationship.
It's like the rule book for the game of renting. You got to know the rules if you want to play it smart.
Exactly. And the first rule of the game is to read that lease agreement carefully.
Yeah.
And I mean, really carefully. Don't just skim over that fine print.
Right.
Take the time to understand every clause, every term, every single detail. It's like deciphering ancient hieroglyphics.
Right.
But instead of uncovering the secrets of some lost civilization, you're unlocking the secrets to a smooth and successful rental experience.
Yeah. And if something is unclear, don't hesitate to ask for clarification.
That's right.
Please.
Yeah. It's always better to address those questions up front than to face, like, confusion and disputes down the road.
100%. Whether you're a landlord or a tenant, just ask.
Yeah.
Get it cleared up.
Okay, so rule number one, read the lease thoroughly. Ask questions if you need to. What's next?
Communication.
Oh, yeah.
Communication. I can't emphasize this enough.
Right.
Establishing those open and honest lines of communication right from the very beginning is just essential for a successful landlord-tenant relationship.
Yeah, it's like any relationship, right?
It is.
Whether it's a romantic partner, a business partner, you know, a landlord or a tenant.
Yeah.
Clear and respectful communication. It's key.
Absolutely. It really is.
Yeah.
So this means discussing your expectations up front, addressing any issues that come up promptly.
Right.
Keeping the other party informed. You know, if that leaky faucet appears, don't just ignore it and hope it goes away.
Right. Yeah.
Talk to your landlord. Get it taken care of.
Address it head on.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Communicate, get it resolved before it becomes a bigger problem.
100%. Yeah. And this goes for both landlords and tenants.
Yeah.
Landlords need to be responsive to maintenance requests.
Right.
Tenants need to be proactive about reporting any issues that come up.
Okay, so we've got careful reading, clear communication. What else is crucial for navigating this whole rental world?
Knowing your rights and responsibilities.
Yeah.
This is where all those resources that we talked about earlier really come into play.
Right.
You know, those government agencies, the landlord associations, the legal aid organizations, they're all there to empower you with the knowledge you need to protect yourself.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to reach out for help. It's not a sign of weakness.
Yes.
It's a sign of being, like, smart and proactive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And finally, remember that a well-drafted lease agreement can be like a shield against potential disputes. It's like a legal fortress protecting both the landlord and the tenant.
So landlords, you know, consider having an attorney look over that lease agreement, make sure it complies with all the applicable laws, and protects your interests.
Yeah, good advice.
And tenants, you know, don't be afraid to negotiate terms that are important to you.
Absolutely.
This is a contract.
It is a contract.
And both parties should feel comfortable with the agreement.
Yes, they should.
So to wrap up this deep dive, let's leave our listeners with a final empowering thought.
Okay.
You know, you've got the knowledge, you've got the resources. Now it's time to take action.
That's right. What steps can you take to make sure that your next rental experience, whether you're a landlord or a tenant, is smooth, successful, and legally sound?
That is a perfect note to end on. Remember, knowledge is power, especially in the world of lease agreements.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. Until next time, happy renting.